Let me tell you something, brother.
What is your name?
I told you.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
Tell me. He didn't just say that.
Hey, yo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
What? 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 What?
It doesn't matter what you think.
Damn.
Have a nice day.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Great Debate. Each episode features spirited discussions, deliberations, and disputes on a variety of topics that run the gamut in the world of wrestling. And now, here is your host, Andy Atherton.
Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network. Welcome back to The Great Debate Wrestling here on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network. I just said that. Oh my God, I'm repeating myself. It's 2021. Out of 2020, thank God that year really, you know, hit the big one. I'm Andy Atherton, your host. And I'm here with a bunch of great guys and Sean. And we're going to be breaking
wow.
down. Hey, you got to start the year a little different. And we're going to be going through some fun wrestling-related questions, debates, arguments, conversations, what have you. And let's get them all in here. And first off, we got Sean Kidd. Hey, Sean.
Hey, I feel like I'm in Back to the Future 2, where I might have lunged ahead into 2021. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you, too. Also joining us here is Matt Souza. What's going on, Matt?
Jesus Christ, Sean. Keep it kayfabe. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you. Scott Shiflett's also here.
Happy New Year, everyone. Glad to be here.
And rounding out our group tonight, Logan Crosland. How are you, Mud Pie?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year, everyone. Great to be here.
All right, cool. Yes, you guys were on the Christmas edition of The Great Debate over on the Pop Feed. And it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun Christmas-related topics. But we're here on the Wrestling Network, and it's all about the Squared Circle. We're here to talk about some fun wrestling questions, and we're going to start off with Sean talking about a move. And let's go ahead and ask you, who has the best suplex, and what is your favorite variation of that move?
There are so many good suplexes, and I had to really think about it, but I'm going to boil it down to a tag team, because as a tag team, I get multiple different suplexes. I'm going to go with the Steiner Brothers. Mm. I remember seeing them when they debuted as a team. I mean, obviously, Rick Steiner had been around a while, but I never seen Scott until he came in 89, and they became a team. And they're just suplex machines and just suplex everybody. I mean, just amazing, amazing suplexes and an amazing team. I will tell you my favorite variations of the move. There's a lot, but the belly-to-belly is my favorite, one of my favorites. I got that from Magnum TA, and Rick Steiner actually used to do that when he was a singles wrestler. One of the ones that a slingshot suplex, like Tully Blanchard used to do, I love that move. Mm-hmm. But one I've really started to like a whole lot, and I've been seeing it in a lot of wrestling lately, is the half Nelson suplex, where they do kind of a half Nelson around their neck, and then they fall back and drop them. And most of the time, it looks like they're dropping on the head, so it almost looks really savage, but that would be my favorite people that do a suplex, and that would be my favorite variations of them.
All right. What about you, Matt? Who has the best suplex, and what's your favorite variation?
So this one's going to be a little bit out of left field. So my favorite guy that throws the suplex is actually Taz from ECW. Mm-hmm. I used to mm-hmm. love how he used to throw all those like those half Nelson suplexes and the German suplexes. And I liked his T-bone suplex a whole lot. And actually, T-bone suplex is probably my favorite variation of the move. But I do also really like Scott Steiner's belly to belly, like Sean mentioned. And kind of another one that you don't see all that often is Ric Flair's double underhook suplex. Mm-hmm. I like it when Flair throws that one too.
Yeah. All right. Scott, what about you? Best suplex, and what's your favorite variation?
I'm going to go with the wrestling machine Kurt Angle. Just the way he throws it, it's so explosive. runner-ups will be, like Sean said, the Steiner brothers. I could just watch them destroying people with suplexes and just in their squash maxes. And the best variation to me is it's pretty normal, but the German suplex. I don't know. Just grabbing someone and throwing them over the top of your head. I just love it.
All right, cool. And what about you, Logan? What's your say?
Mr. Perfect does the best suplex by far. He has the it's called the Perfect Plex for a reason. So I've always enjoyed his. Another variety of suplex that nobody's mentioned is the Brainbuster. I've always been a big fan of that one. It's always really gnarly when somebody hits it really well. So, but yeah, the German suplex, the superplex, you know, belly to bellies, and I have to agree with Sean. I've kind of gotten to the point where the half Nelson suplex is a pretty sweet move to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no love for Brock Lesnar and Suplex City guys.
Overrated, overdone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brock Lesnar. I don't think he executed as well as he used to.
I mean, when he did it the first time against Cena at that SummerSlam, it was pretty amazing. But after that, it just became basically a trope.
It was his whole match. Yeah. It was all he did. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. all he did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, nobody gave a powerplex or what was the superplex? Wait, it was Power and Glorious? It was called the power. It was called
Powerplex.
Yeah, that was called the Powerplex. That was always one of my favorite finishers for mm-hmm. a team that did. Also,
I thought about that one and I realized that really all it is a suplex and a splash. So I didn't really. It was a cool team move. I didn't kind of view it as a suplex. That's why I didn't pick it.
Yeah, yeah. Bulldog would always do a good one. We'd hold the guy up for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm a big fan of the stalling suplex.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Great stuff, guys. We're going to start with Matt. Who are some wrestlers that have never won a Royal Rumble but should have?
So I had a couple written down here, and I'm trying to figure out which one to go with, but I'll go with the first one that came to my mind, and that's Randy Savage. And I couldn't decide on the year either, so I'll go with 1988. The first one, have him win the first one, leading into him winning the world title at WrestleMania 4, winning the tournament. I think that would have been, it would have made sense, and it would have been a bigger name than Hacksaw Jim Duggan winning it, I think.
Yeah, well, I think they didn't really know what they had and what it was going to become.
Right.
Had they known that, they would have put a bigger star in that spot, I think. What about you, Scott? What do you think?
I got a couple. The first one would be Mr. Perfect in 90. Mm-hmm. Hogan didn't need that. They didn't have, the gimmick where the winner gets a world title shot. So I would have had Perfect win at 90. It would have been a nice little add-on for him as well. I would have had RVD win it instead of Money in the Bank, the year he won Money in the Bank, to have him win that. And also CM Punk. Maybe do it the year that he lost to Rock, have the Rock match go in the semi-main, and then he sneak in at number 30 and win the main event.
Oh, yeah.
Royal Rumble. Hmm. And another one, Chris Jericho, that year when they swerved everyone and had Sheamus win it instead of Chris Jericho. That's where I would go.
All right, Logan, what about you? Who should have won a Royal Rumble but never did or has?
The one number one one that I came up with was Jericho. I think he should have won that one that they gave to Sheamus because, you could kind of squeeze Sheamus in by winning Elimination Chamber or whatever. But it could have kind of been an achievement award for Jericho. You know, that's the one big thing that he never really won. But Daniel Bryan's the other obvious in 2014. They should have just given him the Royal Rumble win after he lost to Bray Wyatt earlier in the night. I think there was some concerns that he had a concussion, but, bring him out at 30, have him dump the last couple of people, and it could have been had either way. But those are the two that I thought of for sure.
Yeah. What about you, Sean? Who should have won a Royal Rumble but never had?
Ironically enough, I agree with Sousa on 88, and I agree on Brian. The other one I had was Ultimate Warrior. Warrior could have won, 89? I mean, he could have won something in 89, probably could have been him. The other one I had, Kurt Angle, put him in a random 2000, 2001. I don't think Angle ever won one, right?
No.
Yeah, so Angle would be another obvious one. So those would be the those, and then the other one I had, the year AJ debuted, AJ Styles. when he debuted at the Rumble, that would have been a great way for him to come in and win the Rumble instead of being Chris Jericho's bitch instead. So,
and he would have won the world title because that was the year that the world title was on the line at the Rumble.
Yeah, how great of a debut would that have been versus what we got? So, yeah.
Yes, Triple H. Yep. Well, I didn't like the way that was booked. I mean, they were smart though the way they had AJ eliminated. You know, Kevin Owens get the heat, so I thought that was a lot of fun. All right, we're gonna start this question with Scott. Who else could have helped AEW achieve the success it had if Chris Jericho had not been available to be that veteran star they needed?
So when I was thinking about this, I was thinking with veteran stars. So, and I wasn't counting people that were part-time. So that eliminated, like, you know, John Cena, The Rock, Triple H, you know, CM Punk, people like that. And I thought of Randy Orton. Yeah. I thought he would be very interesting in there. He would be out of the WWE bubble. I know a lot of people wanted him to leave in the mid-2000s, maybe go to Impact, you know, to carve out a niche there and then come back like Christian did. But I think him, he would, I don't know how much mainstream appeal he would have, but the same could be said for Jericho. So I think it would have turned a lot of heads if, like, you know, you heard a knockoff of Voices in My Head and Orton comes out in Jacksonville that day.
Yeah. All right. Logan, who would your pick be?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking just like free agent wise, who was kind of available at that point. And I think the only person that really could have made that kind of impact that Jericho kind of did was Punk. I think he's still not in a company anywhere, but I mean, and I don't know if that he has any interest in wrestling anymore, but, if he did have any interest in wrestling, I think he definitely could have filled that void, that Jericho would have left if he had not come in.
All right. Sean, what do you say?
I have three, and Logan already mentioned one was Punk. And then the other two, their contracts, there's big rumors out there about their contracts around the time AEW was launching. So the other two, one would have been AJ Styles, and then the other one would have been Daniel Bryan. So I think between Daniel Bryan, Styles, and Punk, I think any three of those could have really set AEW off, probably maybe more so than Jericho, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think so, because they have the better work rate, although we haven't seen Punk, but, you know, Jericho can still move, but he's, you know, not in the shape those guys are. Matt, what about you?
So I had Punk written down too, but the first name I thought of was Edge. That would have been a big get for AEW. I mean, obviously he's back wrestling now, and you could build to, you know, Edge's first match back in 10 years being with AEW. That would have been a pretty big get for them and a pretty big deal, I think. So, yeah, Edge, I think, would have been a good one.
All right. So we go to Logan now. What are wrestler gimmicks that should have worked but didn't?
I actually put down four on this one. First one's Dean Douglas. When Shane Douglas came in, he was kind of the academic prick that nobody really liked. I think if he had been faced with a little bit different circumstances backstage, I think he could have been really good, because Shane Douglas is kind of underrated in the grand scheme of things, in my opinion.
And he was really hot at the time, too, from coming off ECW.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then I know Sean will like this one. I put down Doink as the evil clown. He kind of stayed around as the goofy face Doink after that. But I think if Bourne could have stayed, you know, a little more clear-minded, I'll put it, I guess, if he could have stayed around and played the evil clown, I think that could have gone a lot further. Another one, going back to one of our chicken salad episodes, I think the made in the USA Lex Luger, I really think that could have worked if I think that could have worked if Luger had put a little more effort into it. I think once they kind of didn't give him the belt at SummerSlam, he kind of gave up on it. But I think that could have worked if he had been a little bit more into the idea. But and then the last one's Sean O'Hare when he came in like 2003 with, and they put him with Roddy Piper. I think if they hadn't put him with Roddy Piper, he probably could have succeeded a little bit more, because I think that kind of held him down. Yeah. But those are the four that I came up with.
I cannot support the Luger one, but I do definitely support the Doink one.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I don't wish it had worked. I just more think it could have if he had put a little bit more into it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I love the heel Doink, especially when when the superstars that I was at drops very soon on the network, it should be in the next batch. You see me as one of the few people jumping up and cheering when he wins a squash match. So, Sean, what about you? What do you, what are some wrestler gimmicks that should have worked, but didn't?
So I'll get the first one out of the way. I had O'Hare on my list too. And same things Logan said, just with putting him with Piper, but that character was so unique. He had some really cool vignettes and O'Hare could go, man. I mean, I think he had a better senton than Jeff Hardy. So yeah. I know I'm going to break Logan's heart on that, but O'Hare was talent.
And he was an absolute, like, huge dude, too. My friend saw him in the airport.
He had a great look. He could go. And, yeah, it's unfortunate what happened to him. So, but, yeah, another one I really, really liked, and I wish – and, again, this is when I was 89, which is probably my favorite year ever in wrestling. Barry Windham is the Widowmaker. And he was so hot in WCW. He left there. He got injured in 89 in February, and then he went to the WWF. He still looked like Barry Windham, but he had this gimmick called the Widowmaker, and it never really took off because I think that's when he had to leave because his brother and his dad got arrested for counterfeiting. So it never got to take off, but I think that could have been a great, great character. Another one I really liked was Big Bully Busick. I don't think they ever did anything with him, but I think he had kind of a unique appeal to him. Kind of an old-fashioned, like, bully, vaudevillain, you know, kind of scenario there. And the last one I picked, and I think this one could have worked if it were maybe back in the late 80s, early 90s versus 92, was Papa Shango. Because back then they did those all those really ridiculous characters and, you know, kind of like Kamala-esque in the 80s. He could have been a great heel to work with Hogan as Papa Shango. So those would have been mine.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. What about you, Matt? What are wrestler gimmicks that should have worked but didn't?
Well, first of all, the only way that Made in America Lex Luger gimmick would have worked is if it wasn't Lex Luger. But anyway.
Maybe that's what I mean, too. Maybe it was somebody else.
I don't know who it could have been.
It's funny that you mentioned Dean Douglas because I had that written down, too, as one of them. Like, that's a gimmick in 1995 WWF that should have absolutely worked, and I was kind of surprised that it didn't. Like you said, given Shane Douglas was as over as he was. But the first one that came – well, not the first one, but this was a weird one. Do you guys remember in 2004 that SmackDown wrestler Mordecai?
Yes.
Why did that not work?
That was Kevin Thorne, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that was part of the problem was that it was Kevin Thorne. <in the gimmick. laughs> But like someone who was in antithesis to the Undertaker character, like that should have been a shoo-in for a feud with the Undertaker at some point. And
I think most people thought he was like great value Grand Grell. Maybe, and that's probably why it didn't work.
Yeah, probably. But
you're right. He had a great look. You're right.
First, he was Mordecai with like, didn't he have like white hair and a white outfit?
Yeah.
And then he packaged him as like the vampire in ECW?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm talking like strictly about that Mordecai gimmick. Like, I think that could have really worked had they gone into it full bore and not given it 2 months and then pulled the plug.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't believe nobody so far has said Man Mountain Rock or Teal Hopper or The Goon. I mean, those were all great ideas.
Ludwig Borga.
Yeah. Well, let me throw one out quick. What do you guys think had they brought in back in Matt Morgan as Abel? Because I had read something that he was supposed to be the third brother. Basically, Undertaker, Kane, and Abel.
I think he was too green at the time to bring him in as that.
Yeah.
A little more seasoning, maybe. Probably would have been really good at it. You know who should have been able was Test. They should have re-given a Test.
Yeah. Somebody joining us?
Who's opening the door?
I think Shiflet went to take a shit.
No, I had to relocate. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
Would it be, children? Who's joining us?
He grabbed himself some sausage balls. I'm sorry, guys.
Damn it, Sean. Kayfabe.
Sorry.
All right, Scott, you're up. What's the wrestling gimmick that should have worked but didn't?
I'm probably going to get some hell from this, but I always thought this superstar, that he was going to be a superstar, Ted DiBiase Jr. as the Billion Dollar Man.
Oof.
I just don't know why. I I pegged him to be a main eventer, also Carlito, so I'm obviously bad at evaluating talent. So
no, you're not wrong on Carlito.
But they could have had him, like, buying stuff, but instead they had him doing, like, stupid, like, Fear Factor type shit with Maurice and the guy that pokes his eyeballs out and everything. They could have had him, like, hiring people to take people out, but I don't know if his heart just wasn't in the wrestling business or what. And you guys got me thinking when y'all were mentioning Lex Luger as the narcissist in WWE. Mm-hmm. They did a little bit of it with him attacking Bret Hart at the WrestleMania luncheon before WrestleMania 10, and then Hogan does whatever Hogan does, and they just turn everything around and turn Lex Luger into the all-American babyface, which anyone who's watched, you know, WWE in the last, like, six months or Crockett from 88 knows he's not the all-American babyface. They would have kept him as a narcissist. Hell, they could have just made him a tweener at certain points. Would have been a whole lot interesting than all-American babyface. Because in real life, we've heard enough shoot interviews and read everything, and Luger even says himself, he was a dick at points. He's turned his life around now, but if he would have been the narcissist, I think that would have been interesting. And
they had to pivot, unfortunately, Andy.
Pivot!
Pivot!
Got to get those buzzwords in, brother.
I'm sorry.
I think the problem with narcissist might have been the name too. I think people like that wasn't a common word, so people like may have had trouble like pronouncing it, reading it, whatever. I'm not saying people are dumb, but it just wasn't something you would hear in everyday vernacular. It was a little too highbrow for the room. They didn't read the room correctly, I guess. Maybe. I mean, what else could you have called them? I don't know.
The dickhead Lex Luger.
The piece of shit Lex Luger.
Yeah, you could put any name on it. It's still Lex Luger. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. What about, nobody said Deuce and Domino and Cherry. I mean, you know 50s greasers. That would go over now, right? Come on.
Hey, maybe in NXT.
Yeah, in the OG NXT, it would have been perfect.
Yeah. It's amazing that things work down there. Then they come up and they're too small for the room they're playing now. But all right, cool. All right, so we're gonna build a faction. We've done this before on these shows, and this faction is going to be all Canadian born wrestlers, and you have to fill the following roles: your manager, your superstar, your muscle, your light heavyweight, your tag team, and your woman wrestler. And we're going to start with Sean. Start building your faction for me.
So I had an either or scenario in a couple of these, so bear with me. So my first one, manager or leader, the first one I picked was Stu Hart because he's a patriarch of Canada. But the backup would have been Roddy Piper because he's a mouthpiece. He's from Canada. So I would probably lean towards Piper over Stu Hart. Stu Hart was more of a patriarch. Piper would be a great mouth. So I'd probably go with Piper. My superstar, I'm going to go with the obvious one. We do Bret the Hitman Hart. My muscle, I actually went with either Bobby Roode or Lance Storm. I'd probably go more with Bobby Roode on the muscle side. My light heavyweight, it was between three people. It was between Petey Williams. It was between Tyson Kidd and Owen Hart. The obvious choice is going to be Owen Hart for me. The tag team, I think it's kind of an easy guess for me too there, Edge and Christian. And the female wrestler would be Trish Stratus.
Okay. What do you guys think of Sean's faction so far?
I like it. I'm a big fan.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. All right, Matt, what's your faction?
All right, so me and Sean have a lot of the same people, which I'm not happy about. because it means I agree with Sean on too many things. So my manager, I had Roddy Piper. My superstar, I had Owen Hart instead of Bret Hart.
That's fair.
My muscle, I had PCO, Pierre Carl Willett. My light heavyweight, I had Lance Storm. Edge and Christian as tag team, and women's wrestler Trish.
Wow, very similar.
Scary. This is great debate, not great get along with everybody. Come on.
It's not the great agreement.
Just
I know.
Right, just right.
It's great agreement. All right, Scott, you're up. What's your Canadian-born faction?
So I tried not to do any of the hearts just because I felt that was cheating. And I like to make things more difficult than I am. So my manager is Roddy Piper, and I know he was rumored to be a Bret Hart cousin, but I think that's just like, oh, you know, if there's like a lot of people with the same last name, oh yeah, we're cousins type thing. Plus, yeah. So I got manager is Roddy Piper. The superstar is Edge. My muscle is Bobby Roode. My light heavyweight is Tyler Breeze, because I think he could really go as I've seen in PTB NXT. My tag team is Sammy and Kevin Owens, and my women's wrestler is Trish. And I hope that no one chose Natty, because she is annoying as shit, as Sean can attest to on Total Divas.
R.I.P. Yes, I really like your tag team. I like Sammy and Owens. That's a good one.
Thank you.
All right, Logan, you're up.
And you think, and you're good, because next to Scott Criscolo, I'm probably the least. Natalia's probably my least favorite person of all time. So, yeah, you're safe on that one.
Okay, good.
I kind of went. I went with my Highway to the Impact Zone roots. My manager is Scott D'Amore. I kind of went with an anti-American.
Good lord,
Canadian faction. My superstar is Bobby Roode. My muscle is PCO. My light heavyweight is Owen Hart. And instead of Edge and Christian, I went with Lance Storm and Christian, because they were kind of more anti-American than Edge and Christian were. And then my woman is Maryse, who can kind of play arm candy with Bobby Roode.
Ooh, that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a bad pick.
Yeah.
You know who none of us picked as the superstar? Chris Jericho.
Yeah, no.
No.
Yeah. No. And Logan, your list was great with the exception of D'Amore.
Well, he's a good shit stirrer, so I figured he might could do it.
are there any other big glaring names that besides Jericho that nobody put on their list, you think?
I'd have to research it. I'm sure there is.
Davey Boy Smith Jr. as a muscle, because I was thinking about putting him, but it was
Yeah, I thought about him.
Wasn't Elix Skipper? Is he Canadian? Is he from Canada?
Yeah, but I wouldn't pick him.
He was on Team Canada.
I don't know if that was kayfabe.
I wouldn't pick him, though, even if he was.
I'm not going to lie. I was hoping Logan would have just had all the Team Canada as his people.
I thought about it.
I was waiting for Johnny Devine. I wanted Johnny Devine on there.
A1 is the muscle.
Yeah, he would have been like A1 as the muscle, PD as the light heavyweight. I've been like Eric Young. I'm like, yes!
Women's wrestler Eric Young in drag.
Don Callis.
No major guns.
That nobody picked.
Yeah, no Don Callis.
That would have been a good one for the
He's
mouthpiece.
Good now. Yeah.
I'm waiting for something to pop up on my computer. Sorry for this.
Jinder Mahal is also Canadian. Somebody could have picked him.
Oh,
is he?
Jesus.
No, we could.
I'm not looking for a jobber.
Angelique Luck, Gail Kim are both Canadian. That's a good
one. Gail Kim would have been a good one.
Yeah.
Biff Wellington. Kurgan is Canadian.
Nobody picked Chris Benoit.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
obvious reasons.
Bruce Hart.
Yeah, Iron Mark Sharp is Canadian. Canadian's great at
Bruce Hart.
I'm more of a Keith man. I would have picked Keith.
You know, Canada's greatest athlete, Mike Sharp, you know, nobody said him.
Said the biggest jobber in the faction.
Tracy Brooks, Angelina Love, both.
Nobody picked Dino Bravo as their muscle.
Oh, no. God.
No,
he couldn't even muscle himself.
Nobody picked Earthquake, the Canadian.
Yeah, I almost picked Earthquake as my muscle, but I was kind of looking for somebody that
was Earthquake
more
really Canadian, though?
No.
I
don't think he was.
Yeah, he went to LSU. I do know that.
I think he's from West Virginia, actually.
Jeez,
who? Earthquake?
Sense. Yeah, was he from West Virginia?
I think he was really Canadian.
Yeah, he's from Canada, Surrey, Canada.
Oh, all right.
He looks like he'd be from West Virginia.
Nobody said Sylvain Grenier or Paul Diamond.
For good reason.
Or Rene Dupree.
Rene Dupree.
Gail Kim.
Pat Patterson.
Pat Patterson, yeah. Mouthpiece.
He could have been a mouthpiece.
I think Gail Kim would have been the most obvious switch off with from a wrestling standpoint.
Wow, well, Vampiro is Canadian.
No,
great.
No.
Steve Corino.
No.
Are any members of 3LK Canadian?
Conan is Mexican Canadian.
Val Venus.
No, he's a batshit crazy guy now.
Rhymes with penis. Yeah. Michael Elgin, Luna Vachon.
Abdul the Butcher.
Ah, oh, Luna Vachon, Logan. Yeah. Shame Luna. On you.
Oh, the Rougeaus.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a good team.
Santino Marella.
No.
No. Abdul the Butcher is from Canada.
Ah. Oh, yeah. Possible as muscle.
Ron
now, what
Garvin?
About Santina Marella as a women's wrestler?
That could have been a good diva.
Ivan Koloff.
Oh, I love Ivan.
No, Koloff. I thought he's Russian. Don't break KJ.
Him as the mouthpiece would have been really good, though.
Yes, Scott. Wink, wink. He is. He is Russian.
Rick Martel. That was another big
one. Oh, yeah, that's an obvious submission right there.
Yeah, that could have been a good light heavyweight. Or,
yeah, that would have been a good one.
You got Aaron George is getting really pissed at you guys right now. I'm telling you.
Sorry.
I had to get my lovable brother Owen on there.
All right, so we're at the point though we're gonna do our rapid fire round. So guys, you guys ready? We're gonna start with Sean. Who does a better double super kick, the Usos or the Young Bucks?
I'm gonna go with the Usos because it seems like there's less thigh.
All right, Matt.
Usos, but it's close.
Yeah. Scott.
I'm going to go with Young Bucks, but I'm just talking about a move that's been bastardized. It's been the super kick and the suicide dive. So, Young Bucks, since they started it all.
Right? And Logan.
I go Usos.
All right, Matt. The Riot Squad or Absolution?
Riot Squad.
All right. Scott?
Riot Squad, because I forgot what the hell Absolution was. Was that Paige's group?
Yeah, that was Paige. Yeah. And Sonya.
Yeah, Sonya. Yeah, Riot Squad.
All right, Logan?
I'll go Riot Squad just because they're still around.
And Sean?
Yeah, definitely Riot Squad.
All right. Scott, Cowboy Gimmicks. Cowboy James Storm or Hangman Adam Page?
Oh, man.
Damn you.
God, that's a good one.
Damn it.
I think I'm going to go with Hangman Adam Page. Just for what they've been doing recently in AEW with him.
All right. Logan?
Ask me in about 5 years, I'll probably go Hangman, but I'll stick with James Storm for now.
All right. Sean?
I got to stick with my Highway to the Impact roots with James Storm. He's done it for years, and I think Paige is still kind of in that early going, kind of like Logan said.
All right. And Matt?
The correct answer is Cowboy James Storm.
Okay. Logan, Suicide Dive or Plancha?
I'll go Plancha.
Right. Sean?
Suicide Dive.
All right, Matt?
Plancha.
And Scott?
Suicide Dive.
Yes.
They're both overused.
All right, back to Sean. Trish Stratus or Lita?
Oh, Trish Stratus. Lita's in the Smell Club.
All right, Matt?
Trish.
Scott?
14-year-old Scott says Trish, and so does 31-year-old.
Okay.
wise choice.
I'll go with Trish as well.
All right, Matt. The Brainbuster Spike Pile Driver or the Steiner Super DDT?
Oh, man.
Damn it.
Damn, Andy.
Sometimes I pull stuff out of my butt, you know.
We'll go with Steiner's.
Right.
That just looked like it hurt. It been so little room for error. Yep. Scott?
Hell yeah, it hurt. Ask Buff Bagwell. I'm going with the Steiner's.
All right. Logan?
Yeah, I got to go with the Steiner's as well.
And Sean?
Can I say an impossible question to answer? No. Is that an option? No. Shit. I have to go with the Steiner's.
Wow.
I thought you were going to go with the Brainbuster.
No, the Steiner's move looks more brutal. I mean, they both look brutal, but the Steiner's move is just insane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scott, the Hart Dynasty or Legacy?
Jesus.
I'm going to go with Legacy because I was championing Ted DiBiase Jr. earlier, so Legacy.
Right.
Not with Sam Snuka because that was just garbage. And Manu. Just give me Cody, Ted DiBiase, and Orton.
Logan?
Yeah, I'll go with Legacy. I'm kind of with Scott. I was into Ted DiBiase Jr. when he was in there. So, and you know, they at least have Orton, if nothing else. So I'll go with Legacy.
All right, Sean.
See, I'm torn because you have Ted DiBiase Jr. in one who's the shits, and then you have Natty in the other one who's also shits. it's really a hard. I mean, but then you got Cody and Orton, and then you have. I have to go with Legacy.
All right, Matt.
The Natty factor means I'm voting for Legacy.
All right, Logan. Nelson Frazier gimmicks: King Mabel or Viscera?
I'll go with Viscera for the world's largest love machine gimmick. I liked him in the pajamas.
The Big Daddy V iteration of Viscera, not the. Ministry in Viscera, because they were kind of two different characters. I mean, I'll accept either.
I'll probably still go Viscera.
Okay, Sean.
I'm gonna have to go with King Mabel based on the next episode of Chicken Salad and what I saw Viscera to do to Matt Hardy in the Royal Rumble. So it was very disturbing. So stay tuned for that episode. But I'm going with Mabel.
All right, Matt.
If it was Men on a Mission, Mabel, I would go Mabel. But King Mabel is absolutely terrible, so I'll go Viscera.
All right. Scott?
Viscera as King of the Ring Mabel basically broke Undertaker's face, so Viscera.
All right. Back to Sean. The Spirit Bomb or the Pop-Up Powerbomb?
A Pop-Up Powerbomb.
All right. Matt?
Pop-Up Powerbomb.
All right. Scott?
I'm going with Spirit Bomb.
And Logan?
Yeah, Spirit Bomb for sure.
All right. All right, last one. I'll start with Matt. John Cena themes, Basic Thugonomics or The Time Is Now?
Ooh, Basic Thugonomics.
All right, Scott.
Ooh, I'm going with My Time Is Now.
All right, Logan.
I'm gonna go Basic Thugonomics.
All right, Sean.
I'm going Basic Thugonomics because that's when Cena was actually good and cool.
Yeah. I mean, I do like The Time Is Now, but Sean, you were there too. When he came out to Basic Thugonomics at the last Mania at the Meadowlands.
Yes. The place, in New York.
That place exploded. So that was so much fun. All right. Well, that brings an end to the rapid fire round and our end to a very economical Great Debate Wrestling here in the start of the year. You know, it's all good. It's okay to have a little quick hitter once in a while.
I could argue with Sean more if you want.
Oh, go ahead.
Sean, you suck.
Well, you're all
fuck off.
All right. Well, let's go.
No, it's a good way to start the new year. We started all nice and friendly so we could build up to some crescendos throughout the year.
Yes. All right, so let's kind of go around now and say what everybody's pods and social medias they can be looked out for on. Sean, start with you.
So you can catch me on Twitter at NWA Crock and Roll. And as far as podcasts, NWA Crock and Roll, we are now on twice a month now. So versus having 4-hour shows, now we can split them into two. So I'm very thankful for that. I'll let Logan talk about Highway to the Impact Zone. We also have Chicken Salad. And I believe our latest episode will be looking at the Royal Rumble 2006, which is traditionally considered one of the worst Royal Rumbles of all time. And then on the North South feed, I have Shrink Wrapped, The Psychology of Superheroes with Jenny and with Tim Capel over there. That's what I got going on.
All right. Matt, what do you got to plug?
Let's see. I'm also on Highway to the Impact Zone and Jenny and the Gems here on the wrestling feed. You can catch me over on the Pop feed on my show, Piece of the Action. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the two episodes from December, both group watches of Rocky IV and Die Hard, which Sean was on both and Scott was on the Rocky IV episode. And those gentlemen can attest that those were very fun episodes. So please go listen to those if you haven't yet. And you can follow me on Twitter at MSUSA1991.
All right. Scott, what do you got to plug?
You can catch up on Pop Goes to the Couch. Myself, Andy, and Sean did all of the most recent season of The Mandalorian. You can catch me on Blockbuster Rewind for the December episode. We did Indiana Jones. And I can be reached at Twitter on Scott_Shuffler.
Right. And our January episode, Scott, what are we covering this month?
We will be covering Shrek with Mr. Logan Cross, which I'm looking forward to with that.
All right. And Logan, what do you got to plug?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. On Twitter, I'm at HighwayPTBN. I'm the host of Highway to the Impact Zone, and I have Matt and Sean on there. One's on one week, one's on the other, so I try to keep them apart because I don't need that level of vitriol going on at the same time. So.
Yeah, you're a much smarter man than I am.
Chicken salad, like Scott, or not Scott, Sean said. We're covering Royal Rumble 2006. Not really a bad rumble per se, but just a poorly booked card, but I'm looking forward to looking at that one. And I will be on the January Crock and Roll episode, so I'm looking forward to doing that with Sean and the guys.
All right, great stuff. For me, over here on the PlayStation Wrestling Network, check out, coming very soon in the next couple weeks, is the latest episode of Evolution with Tim Capel. We broke down the career of the one, the only Diamond Dallas Page. Lots of fun. Not sure who our next guest will be and our next wrestler to cover, but look for that coming probably around March. And, there'll be another episode of this show, hopefully within the next month or two. Over on the PlayStation Buffy, these gentlemen all join me on the Christmas episode of The Great Debate. It was a ton of fun. And speaking of Christmas episodes, we had two episodes of Laugh in Theater Group Watches. Scott, Sean, you were on the National Lampoon Christmas Vacation episode. And Scott and Logan, you guys were on the Home Alone episode. Both a lot of fun. Don't forget to check out Make Your Mount Rushmore every other Monday. Different groupings of people, guests each episode, different topics. So those are a lot of fun. Blockbuster Rewind, as Scott mentioned. And Year in Pop just came back. We did 1987. That's myself, Scott Criscolo, Dr. G. George Rubellino, and J. Arsenio D'Amato. And we have PTBN Trivia Night starting up very soon. Check that out. Don't forget, check out all the feeds. That includes the North-South Connection and the Jenny Position. Check out PlayStation.com each and every day. And as well as the Place to Be Facebook group on said social media platform. And don't forget, follow all these guys on the Twitter and wherever else you can find them. So I want to say a big thank you to Sean, Matt, Scott, and Logan for joining me on this episode of The Great Debate Wrestling Edition here on the PlayStation Wrestling Network. And we'll check you out on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Oh God.